Good morning, family. I just pray today that my words will be the Lord's words, that the Holy Spirit will just breathe life into them and make them come alive in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay. When Pat asked me to speak today, I was excited to share something from John's Gospel about Jesus as the light of the world. But God said no, I was to share Psalm 91. I was a little disappointed, but that soon turned into God's appointment as I share this beautiful psalm of power and protection with you today. It's a psalm to calm your soul. Do you remember during the pandemic? This was the psalm to go. It was on everyone's lips. Pastors were preaching it online. Prayer groups were praying it. In lockdown, I used to pray it quite selfishly, looking back, over myself. 1,000 would fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but that virus wasn't coming near me. Amen. So, they say you can never have too much of a good thing. But I think sometimes when we have too much of something, we stop appreciating it.
Yep.
So as I've been exploring again Psalm 91, the Lord has given me fresh insight, fresh excitement, and I just pray that you will share that with me today. I've given you copies of the psalm with 7 key words underlined, which is a thread that we'll use to guide us through. And also on the back, there is a prayer, a personalized prayer of Psalm 91 that I pray over myself. And maybe you can be blessed by praying it over your friends and families. Amen. So, a little background to Psalm 91. It's a messianic psalm believed to have been written by Moses because he wrote Psalm 90, or by David. I'll leave you to make your own minds up about that. Personally, for me, it feels like David. But read it and see what you think. The Hebrew Bible has little crowns over every letter of a word. But interestingly, in Psalm 91, most words are covered with little swords. And the rabbis believed that these swords cut through the power of darkness. Remember our sword of the Spirit from a few weeks ago, the word of God, which cuts through all evil. So, let's go. Our first word, dwells. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High. In the New King James Version, it says, whoever dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And that's going to be my preference today, the secret place. The Hebrew meaning of the Most High is El Elyon, the one who cannot be matched, the sovereign Lord, but with a merciful heart. Remember Johnny last week talking to us about the merciful, loving heart of Father God. So, what or where is this secret place? It's God. It's God's heart. It's Jesus. And how do we dwell in the secret place? How do we dwell in the heart of God? It's a decision that we have to make. You see, it's a special place, specially reserved for God's children, for believers. You can't live in two places at once. You have to decide. If you live in the world, you can't be under the protection of God's kingdom. I can hear you thinking, yes, but we have to go into the world. We are part of the world. Yes, but we have to go in as salt and light. The word says we are in the world, but not of the world. I don't know about you, but I know when I'm in the world and I'm of the world, when I get engaged in gossip, when I have an extra glass of wine that I don't really need. Anyway, I'm not going to share any more of my secret sins with you. The Lord knows them all. And we will sin, but praise God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we stay in the secret place by praying, by singing praises, reading his word, speaking out his word. I know, I can hear you. Here she goes again. Speak out the word of God. Amen. The spoken word of God is rhema, it's power, but we also have to obey it. We have to do what it says. I've written here, note to self. I love to quote the word of God, but I also need to obey it. Amen.
Amen.
I know we can't be on our knees all day, every day praying. So how can we dwell in this place? Morning by morning, day by day. We can sing praises, like Carol loves to sing praises around the house. You're singing the word of God. You can sing praises in your car. I can't because I haven't got one. But people are very kind of giving me lifts and pray. They play praise takes in their cars. So you can thank him for the beauty of his creation all around you. When you praise him, it's said God inhabits the praises of his people. He dwells in us, and we dwell in him as we praise him. Thank him for the shop assistant who serves you. Thank him for the waiters and waitresses who bring you food. Thank him for provision. Thank him for your healing, even though you might have a few twinges. Remember, we're not moved by how we feel.
Amen.
We're not moved by what we see. We're only moved by what the Word of God says.
Amen.
And the Word of God says, he sent forth his Word and healed you.
Yeah.
Speak out those things which are not as though they were. Amen.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
The secret place is a safe place. Do you remember, I remember when I was a child, hiding under the kitchen table, under the tablecloth, and just feeling so safe and secure. Or making a little tent under the bed covers, and feeling all warm and cozy, protected from the outside world. Oh, I so want to dwell in that secret place, don't you? So, we come to our second word, rest. As we dwell in the secret place of the Almighty, we will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. The strong, powerful God, the Hebrew translation for Almighty, he's a strong, powerful God, but with the heart of a nursing mother. That's the God we serve, strong and powerful, but tender-hearted. To rest in someone's shadow, you have to be very close to them. And we stay close to God, to Jesus, by communicating with them on a daily basis, as we've just said. Draw close to him, and he will draw close to you. So as you dwell in the secret place, as you rest in the shadow of the Almighty, we come to our third word, say. Verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Verse 9 goes on to say, if you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent, near your home, near your dwelling place. But there's a condition. If you say, not if you read, not if you think, no, if you say, the power of the spoken word is so strong, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your home. Remember Ruth when her ceiling collapsed last week in her bedroom? She wasn't in the room, she was protected. The Lord protected her. John G. Lake, another of my faith heroes from the 1920s, used to say that if you quoted Psalm 91 seven times, faith would build in your heart, faith would grow. So are we ready to read it seven times? Don't worry, Duncan, I'm just joking. You can do this at home, okay? So the rabbis also believe that if you were sick and you quoted Psalm 91, healing would ensue, healing would come. So needless to say, I've been praying it out loud a lot these past few weeks, and my back is completely healed, praise God.
Hallelujah.
I can touch my toes. I'm not going to, just in case I don't get back on. So that's faith. So as we dwell in the secret place, as we rest in the shadow of the Almighty, we speak out words of faith, and then we come to our fourth word, cover. Verse 4 says, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. I love that, his faithfulness, not our faithfulness. So just as a mother would protect her chicks, so God protects us. We're just under his wings. A rampart, his faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. A rampart is a wall that surrounds a castle or a fortress and makes it even more impenetrable. That is the cover that we have. Who needs insurance policies? We have, who needs sun life? We have the Son of God, life, amen. So, in verse 11, he even gives commands to his angels to guard you in all your ways. My son Adrian was 50 last month. He lives in London and he cycles all around. He ran me on his, so I pray every morning. I pray for the Lord to charge the angels around him as he cycles. They're still your babies, even though they're 50. So on his birthday, he called me, and he said, Mom, I had an accident last night. He said, he lives in Copperfield Street near Borough Market. He said, as I drove into Copperfield Street, he went head over the handlebars. I went, oh my goodness. He said, but don't worry, I wasn't hurt, not a scratch on me. So imagine if he'd fallen off his bicycle on Hyde Park roundabout with all the cars and the lorries whizzing around. It could have been a very different story. But I believe the angels were looking after him. We have a few angel stories in church. Remember Brenda at the airport when she was helped and she believed that it was an angel. And Audrey and John when they broke down in the car and the people came to their assistance.
Yeah.
So we serve a supernatural God.
Amen.
God is supernatural. We don't need mediums. We don't need fortune tellers. We have our El Shaddai, our El Elyon. So as we dwell in a secret place, rest in the shadow, as we speak out words of faith, as we are covered with the protection of God, the next one is, you will not fear. Verse 5, you will not fear the terrors of night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. So you need not be afraid. Say after me, I am not afraid.
I am not afraid.
I am not afraid. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid of sickness, of pestilence, disease, poverty. The world is afraid of these things. But you have very special cover. You have the Son of Life cover. And what's the worst thing that can happen to us? I'm not saying Christians won't get sick. I'm not saying we won't fall down. But look at me. But I am saying, what's the worst that can happen to us? the worst that can happen to us is we die and we go to heaven and we spend eternity with the person we love the most in the whole world. Amen?
Amen.
So hallelujah, we will not fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear does not come near you, for your righteousness is of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah, amen.
So as we dwell in the secret place, as we rest in the shadow of the Almighty, as we speak out words of faith, as we are covered in his supernatural protection, as we do not fear, we come onto our sixth word, tread. Verse 13 says, you will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. So we're talking here about Satan. But he was defeated 2,000 years ago at the cross. Amen. But we have to do sometimes a little tramping and treading and trampling of our own when Satan tries to come against us and against our families. In other words, we bind and loose in prayer. We don't have to shout and scream and yell at the devil. We just have that quiet authority. We know who we are in Jesus.
Amen.
As we speak, as we bind the devil, he is bound in Jesus' name. Amen. So in biblical times, it was a sign of victory when you used to tread on the body of a dead opponent. We have a picture of David and Goliath. David, the shepherd boy, the small shepherd boy, treading on Goliath and declaring victory. We have the victory in Jesus Christ. We have the victory because of Calvary, because of the blood of Jesus. You know, the devil knows the Bible as well as we do. It was Psalm 91 he quoted when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness. He took him to the highest pinnacle of the temple and he said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down and he will send his angels. You will not even hurt your foot against a stone. Jesus said, do not tempt the Lord your God. Because as usual, Satan was quoting out of context. So, we are victorious. We have the victory. Every time you're binding the strong man in prayer, just remember that picture of David and Goliath, and your faith will rise in you. So as we dwell in the secret place, rest in the shadow, speak words of faith, covered with his protection, we're not afraid, we tread on Satan, we come to our last word, seven promises. In these last three verses of Psalm 91, God is speaking prophetically. He's speaking in the first person. You don't see that very often in the Bible. John MacDonald, he was a Bible commentator, some of you may know him, tells the story of a young five-year-old boy back in 1925 in the Western Hebrides. The boy was dying with diphtheria. His Christian mother could barely bear to watch as he was gasping for his last breath. And there was a knock on the door. Her brother-in-law from the next island was standing there. He'd been at home, sitting over the fire, reading Psalm 91. When he came to these last three verses, the Lord told him to go. He went to tell his sister-in-law, the boy will not die, he will live. He will become a Christian, and he will live to a ripe old age. That boy was John MacDonald, and he did become a Christian 13 years later, and he served the Lord until he was 91. He used to say, this song is my song. I'll share it with you, but this is my song. So I just pray today God will tap you on the shoulder and say, this is your song, this verse is for you, and you will pray it over your friends and family. So, the seven promises promised to us by God are on screen. I will rescue you. I will protect you. I will answer you when you call on me. When you call on me, I will answer. I will help you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you. I will honor you. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Wow, those promises for us personally from our Father, you can scarcely take them. Ladies, imagine if your spouses on the day you got married promised you all of these things. Oh, how safe and secure and special you would feel. Jesus is our bridegroom.
Amen.
We are his bride. And he keeps these vows to us if we are faithful to him. So, to conclude, there is a place we can enter into, a place so full of the Shekinah glory of God that the world and all its darkness cannot tempt us, it cannot touch us. It's a place of peace, of joy, of love, perfect rest and refuge. A place where there is no doubt. Where there is no doubt, there can be no fear. It's a place where there is such confidence that God can deliver us from all evil. And when we live in that place, church, then we will have revival. Then we will lay hands on the sick and they will recover first time every time. Then Jesus will come again for his bride, the church. Let us pray.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that your word will not return to you void today. It will accomplish that which you please and prosper. I pray that we will leave this place today without doubt, without fear, but we will go out as salt and light, knowing who we are in Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.